black magic has me in its spell.
Oh, black magic that you weave so well.
Those icy fingers up and down my spine.
The same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine.
This is Chat with Women on Seattle's Retro Radio, KIXI.
Welcome back. You're listening to Chat with Women, and I'm Pam.
And I'm Rochelle.
And now we would like to welcome author Terry Githz, who has written The Four Pillars, a how-to guide to losing the guilt and fear and discovering your soul purpose. She is known through as a leader in this personal development and transformational fields. So welcome, Terry.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're excited because we talk about this a lot on the show. We really do. So, you know, how do we as we're baby boomers who have, you know, changed careers a few times and maybe not found our purpose, you know, how do you, there's always the fear, if I try this, what if I fail? So how do you break through that and find your passion and purpose?
Well, I think one of the ways you do that is to kind of start looking at the fears and the things that stop you from moving forward. I think there's a really good, that's a really good indicator when you have this what if I fail feeling, that it's probably something you should be doing.
You should be doing it. That's a big aha, Terry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, they say is if you're not uncomfortable, you're not pushing the envelope enough to be living, you know, your true purpose. And it's a little uncomfortable sometimes, well, a lot of times, actually, to really step into that place where you feel afraid. And all of that fear is really coming from the stories that we tell ourselves anyway.
That's true. And it is so true that fear, walking through the fear, always feels really good, and it really builds our self-esteem. If we accomplish something that we were fearful about, let's say it's standing up and talking, you know, in front of people or whatever it is, then we go, well, I can do that. And then you're more apt to try the next thing and the next thing. But it's
absolutely
that first, you know, first big try.
Yeah,
but is there
any
tips to give people to figure out what their passion and purpose is?
First of all, it's to look at what you're afraid of doing.
So that's number one.
That's number one. Number two is to look at the things that come very naturally to you. You know, the things that you would do forever for free but shouldn't.
That's funny.
Because we as women tend to do that. Mm-hmm. Because we have this, you know, caring, nurturing side to us.
Right.
But if it's something that you really enjoy doing, and even if you think you can't make a living at it, there's a very good chance that those are your divine gifts and your, you know, kind of your purpose. You can also look at all the books on your bookshelf. Seriously, I mean, this seems kind of simple, but when you look at what you're naturally interested in, you're going to find that they come into a couple of groups. You know, so for me, it was always, you know, personal development books and women's issues and young girl issues. So one of the things I love to do is work with women, and also, you know, long term, one of my ultimate purpose driven quests will be to start a foundation to teach these skills to younger girls. I have two daughters. So that's a personal reason for me. Another thing is to look at what it is that really annoys you in life, like what really makes you mad. There's a passion behind that. There's also a passion in the thing that hurt the most in your life. Often, I believe that the seeds of our greatest growth are in our biggest pain. So sometimes people are often we're motivated by what didn't work in our life and wanting to make it better for other people.
So true.
So looking at that pain and saying, okay, what can I do with this? Why did I have this experience? What can I do to help other people? Again, especially as women, it's kind of a natural fit for a lot of us. Sometimes it's not exact. You know, it's not like exactly what you went through, but there's a nugget of richness to explore in those painful moments.
I think we learn a lot. Look back in your life through frustration or through pain, and we hope that every time we go through that we absolutely do come out the other side smarter.
Yes.
You know, and that we'll make better choices in the future because of what we learned. But, you know, I think it's important when you talk about helping younger women, because that's one of the things Rochelle and I started this company, was to help women. Really, that was our main focus.
And the men who love us.
You always say that you can help them, but I really want to help
I like
women.
Those guys. You know, they
you
need
do.
Help.
You
I
have
do.
A, you have a crush on most
I
of them.
I do. They need help, too, you know, those poor little
but
things.
But our original plan, and as we grew, we both saw men's needs as well. But, you know, when we were in corporate America, we saw a lot of women who didn't value themselves, these young women who didn't realize that they were smart enough, pretty enough, and they always made these bad choices in relationships. And so that's where it sort of started. And then as you go along in life, you go, well, the men are doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, they don't feel good enough about themselves either. So how do we go back and mentor these young women? Because we would try, Rochelle and I would try, but, you know, they would just keep doing the same old, same old. And there wasn't much we could do to help change them.
Hmm. Well, I guess, you know, I would do the same thing with them as I do with the women I work with, which is to look at what we inherited. You know, a lot of times we don't realize how much our subconscious false belief systems are running the show. Mm-hmm. And even if we have a, you know, kind of a conscious effort of wanting to change something, unless we look at where it came from, it's really sometimes very difficult, and it becomes an exercise in, you know, kind of self-discipline.
Right.
So I like to talk to them about, you know, where do you think this came from? Where do you think this I'm not good enough feeling came mm-hmm. from? And it's often something that happens when you're a little kid, you know, before the ages of 6, 7, 8 years old, when it gets kind of dumped into your subconscious mm-hmm. and you don't really have the awareness and the consciousness to say, okay, I accept that or I reject that. So it kind of comes along with us as part of our story of who we are.
Right.
So when you can look back at where those stories came from, and I'm not talking about blaming mom and dad for everything, okay?
No, it's time to grow
up. Not at all. Mm-hmm. It's because most of this was very well intended,
right?
From people who loved
us. Absolutely.
But sometimes it's those little things that you heard as a kid. Like for me, one of the things that held me back was I very clearly remember being told in school at a very, very young age to sit down and shut up.
Yeah. Well, that's what they did back in our
day. They did. They sure did.
Yeah, you're too active.
I mean,
right. Yeah, you're too active.
Exactly.
Sit down.
Calm down.
Yeah. Calm down.
Yeah, stop asking questions.
That's right. Why do you keep asking those questions? Enough. But I want to ask you something, because as Pam stated, you know, we used to work in corporate America with young women, and even today our life circles around young women. We see the choices they make, maybe with a partner or somebody like that. How, you know, they believe they're in love, all right? They believe this is the end-all, be-all. And, you know, as we're older and we can sort of look into the bowl and go, you know, I don't see that it's reciprocated. How do you get somebody to realize that maybe this isn't the right one?
Oh, I'm laughing because I have a 20-year-old and a 23-year-old daughter.
So you've been there.
Yeah. So, it's, you know, really, I think you can't tell them anything. You
right.
can't
no.
say this is not the right person for you, because then they become, you know, sort of dig their
I'll
heels
show
in a little
you.
Bit.
Well, then they marry him.
Yeah. I'll show you. Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, I actually have a lot of discussion with my daughters, and we talk about, you know, how do you feel when you're with him or her?
Good
you know,
question.
How do you feel? Do you feel like you're being treated well? Are they putting you down? Those are questions that you can ask them. Like I go through the scale of, you know, are you in a toxic relationship? And there are a number of questions you can ask people where, you know, it just, I find that asking the questions elicits a much stronger reflection.
Right.
And if you start telling them what to do, they're just, you know, they can't listen.
No,
we
don't
like. I like what she's saying, though, that asking the questions.
Asking the questions
is
important.
And that's true
in
even
all life.
With men and women, no matter what age, if you start asking. Because, you know, a lot of times you didn't think about it.
No.
So when they say, well, do you feel like, are you happy when you see this person?
How do you feel when you're together?
Right.
You know, what is it you're deriving from this relationship?
But you have to be careful not to show an expression on your face.
I know.
But see, that's what I do. It's like, oh, really?
Yes,
and then you give yourself away. See, that's not going to work.
Yeah. But that's
you know,
very
that
good.
Way with all relationships, I think, we have in our lives. Friends, colleagues,
that's
you know,
right.
we kind of tolerate a lot more than we really should.
Isn't that true, Terry? That
is
so true.
We will second that motion.
You know, we do tolerate more, and we wonder sometimes why.
Yes.
Well, I think that's part of that childhood stuff, you know, that false belief system of I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy enough. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking for the security or the self-esteem that we didn't get when we were kids. We look for it our whole lives. And until we really value who we are and fall in love with ourselves, not so easy sometimes, obviously, but, you know, that's really when you don't care what everybody else thinks, that you start to develop relationships with people that are, have more depth, and you stop tolerating those relationships that are toxic or hurtful.
Yes, well, it's one of the things we do as we get smarter and older. That's
very true. Well, Terry Goetz, we want to thank you so much for joining us. And your book is The Four Pillars, A How-To Guide to Losing the Guilt and Fear and Discovering Your Soul Purpose. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.